We're going to get going here. Before we do, I want to make a quick plug for the website again and Facebook. For those of you who aren't aware, Facebook has been serving as a, I don't know, I normally hate Facebook, but it's actually been useful for branches. So we've provided beds for people. We've provided different goods that people have needed. And right now we're providing meals for some people within the community. So if that kind of stuff interests you and you've always thought we don't have any kind of system for that, we don't really have a system, but we use Facebook and it's working pretty well for now. So it's real easy. Just go to the website, click Facebook, and you will see all that kind of stuff. So just wanted to give a quick plug for that one. All right? This morning, we're going to talk about rest, and I want to introduce you to Anna's dresser. This dresser has been in our family for a long time. In fact, I think it was my wife's dresser. And this dresser, for me, proves that furniture has feelings and a mind because it plays with me and messes with me and gets me angry. Because this dresser had this drawer right here, and I fixed it yesterday. But this drawer, the bottom falls out, it's all cracked. And what would happen is when Anna's PJs would be in here, every night when I would go to put her to bed, I would go to open the drawer, and it wouldn't open because the bottom would be in there. And so I would sit here and like, come on, stupid thing. Gosh, oh, I hate this dresser. Man, I hate this. And then I would, okay, Ryan, stop. Just push it. Okay. Whew, okay, I got it. And I would get Anna her PJs, and she would be looking at me like, whoa, Dad, are you all right? Now, there's a lot of things in life like this dresser. Sometimes it's your pots and pans drawer, right? You've had this experience where that one pot is rising above the little lip when you pull it open, and so you're ding, 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 ding in the kitchen like, God, this stupid drawer! And then you stop, and you simply pull the pot down, and it opens really nicely. Sometimes it's the little Chinese finger lock thing you give little kids. You know, it's all about that, where you put your fingers in there, and the little kids just try to get it out, but they can't until you stop, push in, it relaxes, and your fingers come out. All of these things kind of represent this idea of where we live today. I don't know what your illustration is, but last week we had this kind of a chill little service, and basically I just mentioned that rest was going to be our next series. And I almost just said the word rest. Then people came up to me afterward, oh man, when I heard you say rest, you don't know what that did to me. I was just, oh, it was so nice. I mean, I just had this week, and I came in, and you just said, hey, we're going to go into something on rest, and oh. And then I'm telling people, hey, what are we doing next? Well, we're doing rest, and you just see them, oh, wow, yeah, that's going to be so good. And I'm just like, what is wrong with us? I mean, you're probably some of you are just looking at that word right now, and you're just melting a little bit. Oh, rest. Oh, yeah, it's so nice. I mean, our culture is crazy. It's crazy right now because we have none of this. And some of you may be thinking, well, no, I do have it. Last weekend, I had a great 4th of July weekend. It was awesome. And that's great if you did. Although I will say, even in our culture, we have these sayings like, it's hard work having fun. Right? I mean, I say that to my wife all the time. We're going camping, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, I don't even want to go. It's too much work. Just get everything ready. And then I know once we get up there, you know, this, it's hard work to have fun. Or we say when we get back from our vacation, yeah, whoo, just got back yesterday. I mean, I feel like I need a vacation from my vacation. You're like, well, didn't you just have a vacation? Yeah, but I mean, we were in Europe for 2 weeks, and oh, it's just hard work doing nothing. You're like, wow, yeah, I kind of know what you mean. Or then we have this one, which is one of my favorites. We are not doing that next year. 4th of July weekend, we had a great party. It was oh, wait, we're not doing that next year. I mean, we have ruined even resting in our culture. We don't even know how to rest without making it about work. And it's not just time. I mean, we live in this culture where if you're not moving, if you're not growing, if things aren't happening, then it's looked down upon, I mean, if you're just stopping and doing nothing, it's not good. And so we live in this culture that, and it affects our relationships, our family, I'd say spiritually, our job, and we start to come up with these lists of things that drive us. Things like, I need to get more clients. I mean, yeah, I got to get more clients. I need to create more products. I've got to create this one and this one. I got a new idea here, and I got to keep going. I need to find more friends. I need more friends. I mean, these friends, they've been around a while. I need more friends, more people to do stuff with. I need to be in more Bible studies. I just got to read the Bible more. I got to learn more about the Bible. I need to go to more parties. No, I don't go to parties enough. I need to go to more parties. I just need to relax more. I got to find some friends so I can go to some of their parties that they're having and then get tired after the party and say how hard it was to have fun. I need to read more books. I don't know enough. I just need to read more books. I mean, I'm with these people. They seem to know everything about everything. I got to read more books so I can know more. I need to learn more about the Bible. I need to hear more sermons and read more books about the Bible while I'm reading more about the Bible so I can have those conversations with those people who seem to know everything about the Bible and theology and all that stuff. I need to exercise more while I'm doing all this, because when I'm doing all this stuff, I don't have time to exercise. I got to exercise more. I mean, I'm only getting in this amount, and I need to... And none of these are really bad things, but I look at this list and I get stressed looking at it. Seriously, I mean, I'm just looking at it. Okay, breathe, Ryan. It's okay. Because none of these are, I need to stop. I need to stop and do absolutely nothing. We don't ever say that. No, I got to do more. So today we're going to look at this word rest, and we're going to look at it for the next few weeks. And I want to let you know, at the end of this series, we've had at each of these little mini-series over the summer, we've had a discussion time where we've looked at a Bible story or a passage of Scripture. For this rest discussion, we're not going to do any of that. We're simply going to say, how do you rest? And do you do it well? And if you do, please share with us. That's it. That's going to be the whole discussion. And for those of you who don't think that's a very spiritual thing, I hope you'll be convinced that that's a completely wrong view by the end of this whole thing. And I'd love it if some of you could even experiment over the next few weeks and come in 3 weeks and say, oh man, I tried this, or wow, this worked. Now, that Sunday is normally a kids' Sunday, which kids and rest, you know. So we've canceled kids' Sundays. Not for that reason alone, but that's a true announcement. We have canceled Kids Sundays for the time being. We don't need them, and for this Sunday coming up, on that fourth Sunday, we especially just want to be able to rest. And we may even do some funky little stuff in there, okay? So be warned. We may even branch out more than a normal branch out. So I warned you, and that's all I'm going to say. So resting, we're going to talk about it today as this idea of God resting. And if you want to turn to Genesis 1, it's the beginning of the Bible, the beginning of the story. It's the only time mentioned in the entire Bible, in this entire story, that God rests. But it's a very powerful story, obviously, and we've probably heard it many times in many different ways. It's one of those stories that we tend to maybe go at sometimes a little bit too literally, in my opinion, and try to dig out all these little facts, and we sometimes miss the beauty of the big truths in this creation story. And I think this creation story is all about creation, obviously, and all about rest, and all about creation and rest working together. So a quick summary for those of you who have never heard the creation story, which there may be some. Day one, in the beginning. Now, actually, this is just a funny side note. In the beginning, that's how far we get into the Bible before Bible scholars have disagreements on what the Hebrew actually says. Okay, I'm serious. In the beginning, everyone agrees on, and then some say, in the beginning, when the earth was formless and void. And some say, the Hebrew says, in the beginning, the earth was formless and void. So some say, well, what this is saying is that God came to this thing that was kind of formless and void and began to create, And some say, well, no, God created that formless and void thing. So it's good to know three sentences into the Bible, we have disagreements about what it says. Okay? So get used to it. Just another little reminder. But God creates light, it says, light to separate the day from the night. Okay? And on the first day, it says there was evening and morning. Now, this light is kind of interesting because it doesn't come until day four, where God creates the sun and the moon and the stars, which are the things that generally define days for us. So this idea of there being light and darkness, not real sure what that means exactly, but it says it was the first day. Okay, let's go with it. Day two, God says, let there be a vault between the waters below and the waters above, and we'll call this vault sky. Okay? And there was morning and there was evening, and it was day two. Day three, God says, let the waters below the sky be gathered together, and then the dry ground will begin to appear. So we have land and we have seas. And then God says, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, plants that produce fruit. And it says that the land did this, produced plants that produced fruit and seeds, even though, kind of interestingly, there is no sun, which is what drives plants. And we don't know if necessarily those plants took a long time or they just appeared. I mean, you start to get into some crazy stuff. And it's always good to remember this is kind of a creation poem type thing here. Not necessarily meant to be taken exactly how it happened, at least in my opinion. But again, a lot of truth here. So day four, God says, let there be lights in the sky to separate the day from the night, which sounds a lot like day one, but this is somehow different. And God says, let these lights mark the sacred times. Let them mark days and years. Okay, so day four, we have the lights that mark days, but we're already at day four. Okay? And we have stars, and we have the sun, and we have the moon. And God says, let there be a lesser night to govern the night. I love these governing words. These lights will govern the day and govern the night. And there's evening and there's morning. And then day five, let the water teem with creatures and the sky fill with birds. So we have fish swimming and birds flying around. Day six, let the land produce living creatures, wild creatures, creatures that move along the ground, each according to its kind. And then also on day six, God says, let us create humankind in our image. And it says that male and female were created in his image. That's a little bit different than the chapter 2 creation story, where it talks about pulling the rib out and maybe into a little more detail, some say. Some say it's a different creation story. Again, not sure that's stuff we need to argue about this morning. But we do need to say that on day 6, God created all the creatures, including humankind, male and female, created in God's image. And God says, multiply, fill the earth. I've given you everything on this earth. Humans, this is yours. And he says it was very good. And then we get to day 7, where God rests. God stops. Chapter 2, verse 1 says this, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the 7th day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the 7th day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the 7th day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. So God stops. The word is Shabbat in the Hebrew, cease, desist, rest, stop. God stops. And it's interesting to me, in this whole creation story, the final action of God is to stop, to rest. There is no, and day 8, God started up again. God stops, rests. So I think there's a few things that we can learn from this story this morning about rest, about looking at how God rests and looking about how we can do it. And the first one is this. You are never too strong to rest. We have created this idea in our culture that some people just don't need rest. You know, I only need 5 hours of sleep a night. It's just how I work. That may be you. Statistics say that's a very small percentage of people, like under 10%, who really only need under 6 hours of sleep, and the rest of the people actually think they do, and they're hurting their body. I don't know how you tell. Just throw that out there. But we have this idea of, I only need 5 hours of sleep a night, man. I don't need that. I mean, that's just how I go. I'm built to go, 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 go. That's just what I do. It makes me alive. I don't need to rest. I mean, you know, some people need to take a break. Not me. I just go. I don't need summer vacations. I don't need weekends. Look at what I'm doing. I go, go, go. And you're over here just, that's me. This is what I do. See? I love it. I was built for that. It's interesting that God doesn't make up any of those excuses for the creation story. In fact, 1/7 of the creation story is God doing nothing. Part of creation is stopping and doing nothing. And you kind of say, did God really need to rest? Did God want to rest? Are we reading too much into it because, hey, this is just a creation poem? We're, you know, are we going into too much detail? Or is that detail there for a reason? Is that one of the kind of major components we're to pick up on here? Is God maybe saying, yeah, see, you can be incredibly strong, and until you stop, push in this little bottom thing here and pull, it doesn't really matter how strong you are. In fact, you probably will just destroy the dresser. Is God saying, yeah, you don't really rest because you necessarily need it as the creator. You rest because stopping is part of the creation process. I've made it that way. And you can't beat it. That's just what it is. I don't know. God's pretty strong. God's a pretty incredible creator, and that creator stopped and rested. I think that would say I could probably do the same. Anyone heard of Craig Alexander? I know some of you have. One person, Carrie, you haven't heard of Craig Alexander? Okay, she didn't raise her hand. This illustration's for you, Carrie. Craig Alexander, 3-time world triathlete champion, 2-time world Ironman champion. Okay, this guy is amazing. Carrie says he's on steroids and stuff, but I don't believe him. Believe her. He's a nice man. He would never do that. Craig is from Australia. He was getting ready to compete in Kona again for the World Championships in Ironman, and something happened. He got a lung infection that spread into his pulmonary tract, and he had such coughing that it tore his intercostal muscles. I don't even know what those are, but it doesn't sound good. And apparently it was like breaking your ribs. So Craig Alexander couldn't run, couldn't train, couldn't do anything for 4 weeks. 4 weeks. So he missed the race in his home country of Australia, which was a bummer. He had his whole path planned out how to get back to Kona. And what he had to do was come up to Coeur d'Alene 2 weeks ago to race in Coeur d'Alene to qualify for Kona. That was not in his original plans. So he comes up to Coeur d'Alene. What does he do? He smashes the record in Coeur d'Alene. If you read the predictions of who was going to win before Coeur d'Alene, it was like, well, Craig Alexander normally, but I mean, he's been sick, he's been not training, guy probably doesn't have a chance. Well, he smashes the records. And in his interview afterward, he says this, maybe that was a blessing, me being sick. Maybe it just freshened me up a little bit, you know? Sometimes rest is just what the doctor ordered, so to speak. Whoa, Craig Alexander. Craig Alexander, that guy doesn't need to rest. I mean, this guy, he knows what he's doing. He gets sick, and he looks back and goes, yeah, I think that was probably the best thing, doing nothing. Never too strong to rest. Here's the second thing I think we can learn. You can't rest if you never start. You can't finish if you don't stop. Now, these are things that we get confused with about rest, and I think this is part of the reason we struggle with it in our culture. The top one is, you can't rest if you never start. And we think rest is associated with laziness, right? Sometimes we just go, man, I can't stop. I'm just, that's the lazy people. And I kind of get this. I call this maybe the teenager syndrome. I mean, I've tried to explain to my kids how awesome it is to do work and then stop and rest afterward, right? So Watching the football game is a lot more fun on Sunday if you mowed the lawn on Saturday. It's not nearly as fun if you have to mow the lawn after the football game, right? Because it's just on your head the whole time. Oh man, I gotta mow. There's something in us, this idea of when we work and then we stop and we look at our work. I mean, even when I mow the lawn, I hate mowing the lawn, but then I look out and go, well, that lawn looks nice, doesn't it? Just appreciate it. Look at that fence I built over there. Man, still like looking at that thing. So good. Look at this thing I created over here. Well, that was good. So laziness is never starting, right? Don't confuse laziness with rest. They are not the same thing at all. In fact, in the commandment for us to rest, which we're going to get to next week, God says, 6 days you shall work, and on the seventh you shall rest. I mean, in a sense, that commandment we always talk about, it's the Sabbath commandment. In a sense, it's a command to work. No, the command is work 6 days, and then on the seventh day, rest. And part of the reason you're never too strong to rest is, again, because part of creation, part of the process is stopping. God says, that's the way I've created this whole process to work. Stop. Stop. This is a great little story. It's one of those stories I hate to even use because it's so like pastor illustration. And so I read it somewhere and I thought, oh, that's a great story, but I want to find out what happened. Well, I mean, was that really the story? And so as I look online, I started to find this story, and the same little pitch line is used in like five different scenarios. So you have a tribe in Africa, you have some jungle Brazilians, you have some Sherpas, and it's always the same little story. So I'm starting to think someone just made up this story and it's not even true. But it's really cool, so I'm going to share it with you anyway. The tribe, or the Africans, or the Sherpas, or whatever, there's someone from the West. This story can be a missionary, just a traveler, a tourist, a climber. Again, it's hilarious, this story online. Anyway, the tribe and the Westerner are traveling together, and the tribe is going 2 days hard, traveling through the jungle, up the mountain, or through the desert. And on the third day, the tribe stops, or the Sherpa stops, and they don't do anything. And the Westerner in the story at that point says to the tribe, hey, what's the deal? Why are we stopping? And they say, oh, well, we're stopping because we're waiting for our souls to catch up with our bodies. Ooh, I love that line. We're waiting for our souls to catch up with our bodies. I mean, you can take that line so far. There's so many of us that are doing so much work without our souls. And it's such a great way to say it. I mean, our culture's filled with it. Ugh! And it's soulless. We're creating without our souls. And sometimes it's literal pieces of art. Sometimes it's a book, it's a painting, it's a whatever. But so often it's a metaphorical piece of art. I mean, we're trying to create this transformation in someone, a relationship with someone, inspiration somewhere, and we're doing it without our soul. And it doesn't work. And it's this idea of God saying, stop. Stop. The third one is this. Rest is holy. The first time the word holy is mentioned in the Bible, it's associated with rest. God calls this day holy, set apart, consecrated. This day of doing nothing. And I don't know what your view of holy is. I think for a while we really wanted to all be holy. We wanted to do holy things, and then it feels like that word kind of got twisted, and now no one wants to go anywhere near holy because it's a weird word. I don't know what your view is, but we kind of want to be holy people. Set apart, consecrated. God is holy, set apart. And God says, rest is holy. Stopping is holy. I mean, when was the last time we ever talk in anything close to this kind of language? When do we say, well, you know, I'm worried about so-and-so's faith. Really? Which we shouldn't really even say that anyway, but we say it. I'm worried about so-and-so's faith. Why? Well, they just don't stop enough. Ooh, that is a bad one. When was the last time you heard a pastor say, stop? Just stop. I mean, if church isn't rest for you, don't come. Well, pastors don't say that. This is the Sabbath. This is a day of rest, of stopping, of breathing. I mean, when was the last time a pastor said, hey, if you're not resting, you better be careful. I don't know where you're at in your faith. What? Stopping? No, I gotta go, go, go. Stop. It's holy. And it kind of makes sense, really, if you start to look at it, because it's only when we stop that we can start to be aware of where we're even at. There was a saying I recently heard that the past is in our memory. The future is our imagination. The only thing real is what we have right now. I mean, everything else is just in our mind. And I would add to that, the only way we can be aware of what is real right now is to stop and look around. Stop. There's a book called The Paradox of Choice. This is a fantastic book. I encourage you to read it. It's just about Western culture and how we have so many choices now that it's actually destroying us. We have so many choices in every phase of life. And at one point, the author says this: people can never relax and enjoy what they have already achieved. At all times, they have to stay alert for the next big chance. I mean, you apply this to anything. A job. And people change jobs now more than they ever have because there's so many job information available. And it's always, oh, what if I got a better job? What if I got a, oh, I could always, and we never just stop and say, oh, look at the job I have. People can never relax and enjoy what they've already achieved. And man, if you look around at our civilization, you go, yeah, that's pretty accurate. Look back at this list. I need to get more clients. When was the last time you stopped and you relaxed and you enjoyed the clients you have? I need to create more products. When was the last time you stopped, you relaxed, and you enjoyed what you have already created? The ability to create, the ability to be inspired. I need to find more friends. When was the last time you stopped, relaxed, and enjoyed the friends around you? And acknowledged them and said how much you appreciate them and said, what can I do for you? I need to be in more Bible studies. When was the last time you stopped, relaxed, and enjoyed what you already know about the Bible? What you already know God wants you to do, what you already know God feels about you? I mean, sometimes I'm so worried we're continuing to learn more that it never does anything. I just gotta get. No, stop. What do you already know? I need to go to more parties. I need to read more books. I need to learn more. I need to exercise. Stop. Relax. Enjoy what is already there. The holy activity in each of these, if you want to find a holy activity about it, is most likely the stopping and the resting. So this morning, it's summer, it's July. I mean, we already have a good portion of our congregation who's resting. Did I just say congregation? Ugh. Of our community. We're resting, we're good at it. I'm happy about that. And this is probably the lowest attended month for church in America. And a lot of pastors get all worked up about it. I love it. Stop. Rest. Relax. Enjoy. It's okay. It's holy. It's a great time of year to practice it. And some of you may be saying, well, I don't know what it is. I shared this with my wife the other day, and she's like, but what is rest, Ryan? And we're going to look at it a little more next week, but I will say this for today. I meet with some guys every other week. We talk about sexuality, spirituality, marriage. And we've often had this question, bear with me, the illustrational work here. You know, what is lust? We've asked each other, you know, when is it lust? You know, you can look at a girl, oh, she's beautiful. When does it cross that line, what we're not supposed to be doing? You know, when have we gone too far in our heads? And we always come to this conclusion. You know when it crosses the line. You know. And if you're going to argue about when you know, that just proves even more you know. You know when it crosses the line. And I'll say the same thing with rest. You know when you have stopped, when you've ceased, when you've taken a breath and you relax and you look around at where you're at and what you have and you're grateful and you acknowledge it and you rest. You know. Go there. Find it. This morning, we're going to do that thing that everyone dreads in church because it's really awkward. We're going to have a time of silence. Because even in our worship, we're banging away at this drawer sometimes. Stop. Just stop the noise. Rest. And we're going to be silent for enough time where you get awkward. Because that's the only time it's really resting. Because if it's not awkward, it's just part of the nice flow that we've scheduled for you. Right? No, it's going to get awkward. You're going to start looking around going, this is weird. I do not like this. Good. Maybe for once, you're stopping. You're ceasing. And you're resting. Even in worship. And then hopefully just after it gets a little bit awkward, we'll start some singing. But rest in the silence for a moment. Sit there. Think about how it feels even. Oh, I don't like this. Why? Why don't you like it? What's bugging you about it? God, what do you want me to learn even right now? In this awkward silence with all these people. Hopefully we can learn how to stop and rest. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you are an amazing God who rested. And it's one of those stories, again, we hear it so often, we probably don't stop to think about it even. God rests. In fact, we heard that story of Elijah not too long ago, and Elijah makes fun of gods who stop. Maybe he's taking a nap. He mocked. God, may we learn that rest is holy. May we learn that we are never too strong to rest. God, there isn't this certain people who don't need to rest. It's part of the process. May we not be afraid of it. May we work hard and may we realize that part of work is stopping. Lord, may we be grateful. May we look around at what we have and stop for a moment of trying to get somewhere. And so, Lord, I pray in this next few minutes as we even are just silent. We don't like it. Other cultures do really well at it. We are not one of them. Help us to learn something from it. Help us to find you in it in a way that maybe we haven't before. Even when it starts to get a little awkward, God, help us to realize that's truly stopping. And there's something beautiful about it, and there's something holy about it. And it's something that you have modeled for us. So we pray that you will lead us in this silence and help us this week, this month, this year, in our lives to stop and rest. Amen.